Most nights before bed, I'll head out into my backyard with a flashlight to look for scorpions. Here in the desert of Phoenix, some neighborhoods are just crawling with them. Well, turns out scorpions and spiders are a coveted commodity, and the internet is also crawling with black market traders. More than 12,000 species of spiders and scorpions are bought and sold online, and the vast majority of those sales are unmonitored, according to a new study in communications biology. Let's bring in one of the authors of that report, Alice Hughes. She's at the University of Hong Kong. Alice, welcome.
Thank you. It's good to be speaking with you.
And first of all, who knew? I had no idea there was such demand for scorpions and spiders. How big is the market and how does it work?
The market's actually huge. This is the third paper in a series of three papers we've been doing on basically the wildlife trade in understudied groups. And we're seeing millions upon millions of individuals being traded every year, with the US being one of the major destinations for those animals. And what's even more alarming is for the US, about 70% of the individuals coming into the country are coming directly from the wild, meaning that this represents a genuine threat to the survival of many species.
I guess the question, first question, is why? Do people want them as pets?
Well, the shortest answer is people see them as cool. People are looking for rare species and people are trying to collect a lot of species. So when we look at individual collections, some individuals will have more than 200 species. Just as a single person. And everyone is looking for that rare thing that they don't have in their collection.
And tell me about some of those species. I'm reading one is the emperor scorpion. There's also a blue-legged tarantula. What were some that stick out to you?
Yeah, so the emperor scorpion is interesting because it's one of the most traded arachnids in the world, with millions of individuals coming every year. But what we didn't expect to see was just how many of them are still coming from the wild. And the blue-legged tarantula is a really interesting one because it was actually illegally exported from some photos that a photographer took. Then it was described from those photographs, and now there is a trade in this species that was only described in 2019 based on those photographs from a photographer.
In what parts of the world do these animals come from?
So we're seeing hotspots of collection in places like the Amazon, but there is trade in every country and continent. And so we know we've got some major leaks in the system in terms of where these animals are coming from and what impact it might have on their wild populations.
Right. So you mentioned that these animals, many of them are coming from the wild, which could be a problem. And why is that?
Well, we need to think about an ecosystem a bit like a tower of Jenga blocks. When you pull out blocks, the whole system becomes unstable and eventually it collapses. Pulling out animals from these ecosystems is basically doing the same thing. And given that arachnids are predators, they serve a really important role in the ecosystems they're in. So when we're removing these animals from the wild, we can cause a shift in the entire ecosystem when it's done at a high level. And in addition, as some of these species have really small ranges, they could be going extinct as a consequence of unsustainable trade.
Someone might hear this and say, well, you know, it's just a scorpion. I mean, and by the way, I hate scorpions. What would you say to that? That how could that make much of a difference in the ecosystem?
Because it's additive. We need to be a lot less lenient on just saying, oh, it's just a little bit more, because it adds up and it does have an effect. And personally, I'd like to see us as better stewards of the natural world. At the moment, we're in the midst of a pandemic, which has touched everyone's lives in many ways. And one of the reasons behind that pandemic may well be the fact that for many ecosystems, we are not managing them sustainably.
Now, if this market were to be run properly, were to be monitored, how would it work? How should it work?
One lesson we could learn is from the bird trade. Both the US and Europe have regulated that wild birds can't be imported into those regions because there was just too much of a risk of spreading disease. And as a consequence of those regulations, we saw global bird trade decrease by an estimated 90%. Having similar regulations so that we need permits that state where animals have come from and we transition to a model which is primarily based on captive breeding, we'll see lower impacts on wild populations, but we also have less of a risk of spreading diseases back to our own native wildlife or to the collections that people may have spent thousands of dollars on establishing.
So in the meantime, if somebody wants to purchase one of these blue-legged tarantulas or an emperor scorpion or something else, and they want to do it responsibly, how do they know if they're doing the right thing, getting it the right way?
That's a great question. I would suggest that anyone who wants these animals tries to get something that they know has been bred in captivity and where they can preferably see the stock of who is breeding it so they know that is the case. These animals are really cool. They're fascinating animals. And there is nothing wrong with owning animals, provided it's not impacting on wild populations. We just need to be better stewards so we know that our trade obsession is not going to drive them extinct in the wild, which for some species we know that it might be now.
Yeah, Alice Hughes is an associate professor of biological sciences at the University of Hong Kong, also co-author of a report in communications biology about the unmonitored trade around the world of scorpions and spiders. Alice, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure.
And yeah, scorpions are cool until you find them in your bed.